It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Pittsburgh Black Political Convention, a cross-section of black leadership from across the city, plans to announce their endorsement of a candidate for mayor tomorrow afternoon. This comes after evaluating the candidates' responses to a questionnaire and a forum addressing the issues on the convention's agenda. There are two black candidates hoping to ascend to the city's top spot. They are State Representative Jake Wheatley and A.J. Richardson, a community activist. New York, Chicago, and other major American cities have had black mayors. So why hasn't Pittsburgh? Joining me in Studio A to look at a history of black mayoral candidates in the city are Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporter Tim McNulty and Duquesne law professor Joseph Sabino Mystic, the former top aide to Pittsburgh Mayor Sophie Maslow. Tim McNulty, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Joe Sabino Mystic, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
It's great to be here.
Gentlemen, let's begin with the obvious question. Why do you think that Pittsburgh hasn't had a black mayor? And Tim McNulty, let's start with you.
Well, I think the first thing we have to talk about is the percentage of black residents in the city. It's about 26% by the last census in some of the bigger cities, Philly, Chicago, the ones you mentioned before. It's a larger percentage. Even Cleveland, I think, is a little bit more, around 50%. Right there, you've got a problem. And if you have a wide field, this field has gotten a little bit smaller, but if you have a wide field, it gets diluted even more. And certainly we saw that in 1989, which Joe knows a lot more about than I do, the last time there was a really prominent guy running.
And let's talk about that. The last race, the last mayoral primary with as many contenders as this one was, in fact, 1989. What has changed in politics and in Pittsburgh since then?
Well, a lot has changed, but it's instructive to look at that race because Mayor Sophie Maslow was elected with about a little more than 28% of the vote because there were five candidates at the time. She would famously arrive at every rally and say, "Here we go again, four guys and a gal," and that seemed to find acceptance with the public and with the voters, certainly. But at the end of the day, it's about the candidates, and when you break out any particular vote ethnically, you'll find that people. May have some tendency to stick with their ethnicity in elective situations, but not always, because it's based upon the candidate. In that race, Sophie Maslow had grown up in the Hill District and had a large number of African-American supporters, and she managed to split that vote with Bird Brown, who was a capable candidate who was in the race.
Let's talk about Bird Brown, the most prominent African-American figure to seek the nomination in Pittsburgh. What can you tell us about him?
Well, Bird was a prominent lawyer, came from a family with a rich history in Pittsburgh, and he was an eloquent candidate. He did very well at the debates. Somewhat hampered by the fact that Sophie was remarkably popular in the Hill District in particular, having grown up there and having continued her friendships with many people there.
Is Bird Brown the candidate who has come the closest to becoming Pittsburgh's first black mayor?
Well, it depends on how you analyze that. During that era, we saw actually prior to that perhaps maybe even 10, 15 years prior to that, we saw the rise of Jake Malines. Jake Malines had become a member of council right around the time Sophie was mayor. He eventually became finance chair. As you analyzed it, it seemed that Jake had both black and white support. He'd been president of the school board, where he had enjoyed popular acclaim. So in terms of who came closest, he was probably within striking distance, perhaps closer than anyone had been, but for his untimely and very early death.
And Bird Brown was a charismatic figure and a strong presence in campaign debates. He was rebuffed by the city's voters, though. is it more than just the math? I mean, when Tim points out, for example, that, you know, as he did accurately, that Pittsburgh's black population is smaller than most northern cities that have elected black mayors at something like 26-27%. Is it simply about the math? When somebody like Bird Brown can't get elected, is there something more at play here?
Well, there are some other candidates in that race who also believe that perhaps they had a superior right to being elected. It has to do with the mix of candidates, with the popularity of yourself and your opponents, like any other election, and where your opponents also can claim a credible base. As I said, you know, Sophie had a credible base, and she was extraordinarily popular. But even with that, in that race, she came in at about 28.3%, which was enough to win under those circumstances.
That's Joseph Sabino Mystic, former top aide to Pittsburgh Mayor Sophie Maslow. We're also talking with Tim McNulty of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Tim, do you think that the city of Pittsburgh has a strong enough African-American voice to drive political change?
Well, the bench is a little bit thin. You know, I mean, the two sort of most prominent black elected officials in the city are Jake Wheatley, who's running, and then Ed Gainey from Lincoln-Lemington. Who's supporting Bill Peduto in this race. That's one of the things that has to happen, I think. You need to build that bench. That might be a part of what Wheatley's candidacy is about, because he started late, doesn't have much money. He still hasn't done all that much in this race yet, and so he needs to develop a little bit as a citywide candidate. Maybe we see him again in 4 or 8 years, something like that.
Are there logistical challenges in organizing and fundraising for black contenders for mayor that the white contenders don't have to deal with?
Well, yeah, it'd be nice to have some of these really big fundraisers, you know, the people who are all with Mayor Luke Ravenstahl, many of whom are now going to Jack Wagner. Still a pretty small city. You know, a lot of that money is flowing just in one direction right now, or two, you know, maybe to Peduto too. Wheatley or any other black candidate might have a little bit of a base that he could reach into in Philadelphia. I know that's the case with Jake, and with the city campaign finance rules being thrown out the window this year, he might be able to pick up a little bit extra when it comes to fundraising.
Joe Sabino Mystic, what about those logistical challenges in organizing and fundraising for black contenders?
Well, they're common across the board. Many people have a difficult time raising enough money to mount a credible campaign. There's only so much juice in the orange, so to speak, and it seems like the leading candidates in this case, it would be Peduto and Wagner, have squeezed most of the juice out of that orange.
But there have to be certain things that black mayoral candidates in Pittsburgh have to deal with that white contenders do not.
Yeah, I think you have to look at how far we've come. There was a time in the 60s, in the late 60s, when white men picked the black candidate. We had something called Balkan succession. And they also picked the Italian candidate. They picked the Irish candidate. They picked the woman candidate. They picked the Eastern European candidate. But they did indeed pick the black candidate. And it was really...
This was part of Democratic machine politics?
That's exactly right. And it was really, really the move to an elected school board that changed that. And we began to see populist black candidates run for the school board and succeed. And they would run against the machine, and they would beat the machine candidates. There was a little taste of that back in 1972 when a guy named Joe Rhodes ran for state rep against the machine, and that was sort of a harbinger of things to come. And then when the school board came along, we saw more of that. Margaret Malines ran against the machine, was elected. She tragically died 2 years later to be succeeded by Jake Malines, who went on to become president of the school board and then on to city council, where he became chair of finance, which is perhaps the most prominent position on city council. But things have changed dramatically, and the way has been led by the school board, oddly enough. And we're beginning to see it in other parts of politics, and most recently in Ed Gainey's race. Ed Gainey ran against the endorsed candidate and did so successfully, a long-time incumbent.
So how much of a hindrance is this Democratic machine politics when it comes to minority candidates, specifically black candidates, making headway, which, by the way, I'm not really feeling. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Joe, but I remember growing up in this city, the candidacy of Bird Brown, and to come back decades later to move back here, and we're still talking about Bird Brown as having been the most prominent black candidate in this city's history for mayor, that indicates to me that there really hasn't been that much progress.
Yeah, I mean, first, I just want to say, first of all, and I know Joe will probably agree with me here, that machine is dead.
Right.
It's been dead
right.
for a long time.
Long
now.
Dead, yeah.
We can look at Ricky Burgess, too, city councilman from the 9th District, Homewood, ran, despite being the incumbent, you know, lost the Democratic endorsement his last time around, still won. No Democratic endorsement in this crazy race. So what? Where are we going with that? I can't remember. Sorry.
But just is, you know.
Why no one since Bird
right.
Brown? I don't know. You know, the other thing that's the real irony there is that there have been other really powerful, well-thought-of black leaders during this time. Leroy Urvis, a guy who came up even though Davy Lawrence didn't like him, ends up being the first House Speaker in the nation who's black, you know, since Reconstruction. First only person, I'm pretty sure I'm right about this, only House Speaker elected unanimously in Pennsylvania other than Benjamin Franklin. Amazing, amazing guy.
And when you said Davy Lawrence, you're referring to Mayor Lawrence.
That's right.
And why didn't he like him?
I can't remember exactly why, but they had a falling out. But that he grew to be so powerful up in the Hill that and obviously so smart and so great at his leadership that Lawrence eventually came around to him. But and then you have the history of the Pittsburgh Courier too. At the same time, you know, this a real sort of strong backbone of black leadership that is nationally recognized, you know, in Pittsburgh. And then why does that go poof, you know, from 89 to the present? I'm not really sure.
I worked for Leroy Urvis when I was a young man, and he was a great leader. If you ask why we haven't had a credible candidate for mayor, well, in that particular case, it may be that he chose to become Speaker of the House. So we've had some pretty wonderful African-American political leaders in the years since the school board went to the elected form. And we've made, I think, great progress in those communities in economic terms and in terms of development. Now, is it enough? No, it's not enough. But it's evolving. The civic arena was just torn down. That site has been restored to the people, in a sense, restored to the neighborhood. It was an example of the excesses of urban redevelopment. And it takes years to correct those things, as we've seen in East Liberty and on that site.
And Paul, there could be just a timing issue, too. You look at the main guy organizing the convention tonight, Salahuddin, who at one point was very powerful in city politics, the head of the council's chair of the finance department, chair of finance for council, but happened to be serving when Tom Murphy was in the midst of three terms, you know, so it wasn't really the right time for Udine to run. And then, you know, he loses some support up there and gets beat by Tanya Payne again. And that was a time when the machine actually did work, where she got the endorsement over the incumbent.
We're talking about the history of black mayoral candidates in Pittsburgh and why there has not yet been a black mayor of Pittsburgh. Our guests are Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporter Tim McNulty and Duquesne University law professor Joseph Sabino Mystic. How potentially pivotal is the role of black voters in choosing the Democratic nominee for mayor this time around?
It's a little bit easier in that there are only three major candidates in the Democratic primary other than Mr. Richardson. So possibly, you know, Wheatley, if he can get a bit more of a campaign going, you know, could collect a lot of those votes, although he will even acknowledge that he needs to get, you know, a good number of white supporters as well. But he has a little bit of a better chance, arguably, than some of the other candidates have.
Joe Sabino Mystic, same question.
Well, when you're looking at any campaign, it's common practice to look at the numbers of the various voting blocks, and oftentimes you look at the ethnic groups. Italians and Irish and Germans and Eastern Europeans have pretty much been assimilated, and it's harder to clearly identify them and to get them to vote as a bloc than it was even 20 years ago. But in the African American community, there's an identifiable voting bloc that if you can win it, if you can convince most of the folks within that community that you're the best shot they have for mayor, that can have a major impact. We're looking at 26-28%, I guess.
So what we're looking at being organized in Pittsburgh, and that is unifying the black vote. If you put that entire 26-27% of the population together, you're talking about a political force.
That's a political winner if you can put it together. No, you won't get all that together because it's human nature.
How close will they come?
Well, they will, as a group, have a perhaps a pivotal role in this election.
And the key thing we always have to remember in every mayoral race is, even though we're giving it this much attention, it's really low turnout. Why that is, I'm not exactly sure.
That was my next question.
Exactly.
But year in, year out, it's always that way. I should have looked it up before I came in, but I think it's probably around in the 20s in terms of percentage turnout. And so if Jake can really rally the troops, it could help him.
Well, and how much of it has to do with the perception of how much power the mayor has in the city of Pittsburgh? There are cities where the mayor isn't as strong politically just by the whole design of the governmental setup as the mayor might be in another city. In Pittsburgh, the mayors are pretty strong figures, aren't they? So if in fact that's the case, and correct me if I'm wrong, then why does that not inspire more of a turnout?
We have a strong mayor form of government, and there's no question that the mayor is in charge. But that is countered by the fact that we're a small city. You know, we're closer to 300 than 300,000 than anything else, and we came from an extremely more powerful city, more influential city in terms of the statewide politics and even national politics from decades ago. So it's a small town. We have 300,000 people or so. We have a strong mayor form of government. We have a mayor who is in some ways now eclipsed by a county executive form of government at the county, you know, sort of wrapped around it and woven into it. It's not what it used to be, but it's still the office holder that people look to as the leader of the region in many ways.
And Paul, in addition to that, the mayor's power has been further eroded by the fiscal distress that the city's been in since 2004. So what little power the mayor had to give out jobs to control the budget has been taken away by the state in many ways, as his budget is overseen by two different oversight boards. And so, you know, still has a lot of influence, but isn't what it used to be.
That's Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporter Tim McNulty. Also with us is Duquesne law professor Joseph Sabino Mystic. And the black agenda that has put together a list of concerns in the black community the issues on the black agenda that prominent members of the community would like to see the next mayor address include, among other things, narcotics, gun trafficking, unemployment, poverty, and education. Which candidates are we seeing step up to the plate and say, yes, I'm going to be the one to address these issues? Tim?
Well, all the candidates have been addressing police issues and crime, certainly, and given some of the other headlines that have been going around about the Pittsburgh Police Bureau, you know, that makes sense. Reforming the Bureau has been a major topic. Education has been a major topic. We haven't seen much from Wheatley, but both Wagner and Peduto have fairly extensive platforms on education. We haven't seen much at all on like drug and alcohol issues. Joe, what?
Well, the Pittsburgh Black Political Convention is a remarkable development, actually. The agenda that you described, Paul, is even more extensive than that. It's my understanding that the three major candidates have answered essentially this questionnaire, responded to these issues. That's huge, actually, in this race. So, and I think that's an indication. That's the clearest indication as to the value of the black vote in this upcoming race.
Okay, last question. We've got about 30 seconds or so for each of you. Are black voters in Pittsburgh destined to have a stronger voice in local politics? Tim, we'll start with you.
Yes, certainly in this race because of the small field, and I think maybe there is a little bit more attention this time around because of all the events that have been unfolding around the mayor's office. So I'll say this time, yes. Going forward, don't know.
Okay, well, he didn't use his whole 30 seconds, so you have a little.
Joseph, I thought I was rushing.
I'll just talk
there.
More slowly.
Joe, you have a little more time.
I agree with Tim, but I also want to add that I think that the impact of the black vote is growing, has been growing, and continues to grow. And I do believe that this convention is the right step for this time, and it's something that can be built upon for the future.
And no one would have believed in 1989 we'd have a black president. We do now. So,
well, and that has to have some impact, doesn't it? Or at least show what the possibilities are.
Absolutely. I mean, you know the old story. Even you can be president now. Now we have proof. Everybody can be president. It's wonderful.
Well, it's been an interesting conversation, and the mayoral race, the campaigns continue to unfold, and it'll be interesting to see what happens next month. In the meantime, I want to thank both of our guests for this segment, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporter Tim McNulty. Tim, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Paul.
Also, Duquesne University law professor and former top aide to Pittsburgh Mayor Sophie Maslov, Joseph Sabino Mystic. Joe, thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Essential Pittsburgh. Everybody, have a great weekend, and we'll see you again Monday. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.